Open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 35, Isaiah chapter 35. I played that clip in the beginning because I knew it was something that would make us smile. I knew it was something that would remind us that in the kingdom of God, in our church experience, there is much to be joyful about. There's much to be happy. There are a lot of things that makes us smile. And I would say also that as the people of God, again, we're not discounting or dismissing the fact that we have our share of experiences that bring us sadness or heartache or pain. But we have been blessed with this season and this life of joy. As such, joy and rejoicing is something that you see throughout Scripture. So this is Isaiah chapter 35, the reading on this third Sunday of Advent. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs in the haunts where jackals once lay. Grass and reeds and papyrus will grow, and a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk in that way. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor will any ferocious beast get up on it. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Amen. I am cognizant that a couple of months ago we looked at emotions as we did the Inside Out series, and joy was one of those emotions we considered. It was an emotion that we didn't find difficult to come up with, instances or examples of that emotion. Places or things that give us joy, we seem to think readily of those things. A couple of weeks ago, many of you were decked out in your scarlet and gray, and you watched the Ohio State Buckeyes beat the team up north. I heard that the over 100,000 fans in the stadium that day cheered so loud on the Buckeyes' last touchdown that it registered a 5.9 on the Richter scale. They were joyful. You were joyful. That's joy. But football just seems so minor in the grand scheme of things. I mean, don't get me wrong. I get excited about my sports teams. Sometimes I'm a Bills fan, remember. But I think there are like so many other things this is more meaningful when you talk about affixing joy to it. I mean, there's joy in sports, but there's joy in other instances that just seem so much more meaningful. I think it was around 2003 or 2004. In this auditorium, I remember Perry's mom, Treva, and her husband, Bob. And I remember Bob was baptized here. How many people remember Bob's baptism? The reason I remember Bob's baptism so much is I remember Treva Brown jumping up and down going, woo, woo! I'll never forget that piercing woo sound when Bob came up out of that water of baptism. I mean, that's joy, church. That's something that I will never, ever, ever forget. As long as I live, joy and great rejoicing. Like when I see the several instances of servicemen and women coming home to be greeted by their families, and they reunite with their family members. I mean, the tears are often rolling furiously, but they are tears of joy and rejoicing. They've been gone away for so long, and there's so much anxiety, but when you see them walking in the airport, and you see these kids and embracing their parents. I mean, the one picture of the serviceman, and he has his 15-month-old child. He didn't see her. Last time he saw her, she was 6 weeks old. And then he grabs her, and she's grown up, and she has some personality, and the joy that's experienced there, that just seems more meaningful than cheering for a football game. Or the joy we experience when we or someone we love experience a medical healing or breakthrough. Just last week, I remember watching Greg Scheibner right here. He couldn't hold back his applause, and with great joy when we announced that Beckham was finally going home with Justin and Joy. You know, I think about the joy. You know, yesterday would have been my dad's 92nd birthday, had he still been alive. He died 12 years ago. But the joy of thinking about my dad. And some of the things that I remember him coming to. He only came to a few of my basketball games. He was older and frail and sick and couldn't often travel to come to a lot of my basketball games. But I remember me experiencing joy when I'm playing at Clarence High School. I remember the high school. I remember it was the playoffs, and I remember watching him walk into the stands with my mother. And I'm on the court, should be paying attention to the game, but I saw my parents walk in, and inside I kind of lit up, and I remember like getting the ball on in the corner, and my dad was over there, and I said, I'm gonna shoot this three, and I'm gonna dedicate it to my dad. And I shot the three, and I was looking at him as I shot it, and I shot an air ball. And you know, the joy I saw on my father's face with him doing this, like, you know. When we experience breakthroughs in our lives, we celebrate and we rejoice. Let me remind us all that this does not mean that we won't experience disappointment, sadness, or heartache, but given the overwhelming activity of God, there is much to be joyful in our lives. And even if there is a current circumstance that causes us to worry or be in distress, I want us to consider our joy in the Lord this morning. The Advent reading today is from the prophet Isaiah, who we've been in for the past couple of weeks. Isaiah's prophecy is full of prophetic utterances or words regarding the destruction of the land and the disobedient people of God. They will be punished because they turned their backs on God. And make no mistake about it, there will be a steep price to pay in return for the blatant disregard for God's law and God's way. But there will be a return. There will be a rescue. There will be a remnant. There will be a redemption. It's coming, and it will be the source of great, great joy. Verse 1 again from Isaiah 35, the desert and parched land will be glad, the wilderness will rejoice and blossom. And here's this reading again from the Message. It says, energize the limp hands, strengthen the rubbery knees, tell fearful souls, courage, take heart, God is here, right here, on his way to put things right and redress all wrongs. He's on his way, he'll save you. Blind eyes will be opened, verse 5, be opened. Deaf ears unstopped. Lame men and women will leap like deer. The voiceless break into song. Springs of water will burst out into the wilderness. Streams flow in the desert. Hot sands will become a water to drink. The barren grasslands flourish richly. There will be a highway called the Holy Road. No one rude or rebellious is permitted on this road. It's for God's people exclusively. Impossible to get lost on this road. Not even fools can get lost on it. No lions on this road. No dangerous wild animals. Nothing and no one dangerous or threatening. Only the redeemed will walk on it. The people God has ransomed will come back on this road. They'll sing as they make their way home to Zion. Unfading halos of joy encircling their heads, welcomed home with gifts of joy and gladness as all sorrows and sights scurry into the night. Church, what the ancient Jews longed for is what has become our reality in the Christian church. This is God's kingdom reality. And in this realm, we experience fortune and freedom and fidelity. And in this realm, we experience renewal and refreshing and rest. And in this realm, we experience clarity and compassion and comfort. And in this realm, we have justice and we have joy because we have Jesus. And so the psalmist sings a song in response to God, the originator of our joy. The psalmist echoes Isaiah 35. In Psalm 146, starting at verse number 5, it says, "Blessed are those whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord." And joy, this joy that we find in being in Jesus, was experienced by Mary, who would be the mother of Jesus, the mother of the Christ child, as she responded to the call to be the mother of the Christ child. Hear how she echoes in what we call the Song of Mary, the Magnificat. Hear how Mary echoes the prophet Isaiah. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies in the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in the inmost thoughts. He has brought down the rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Hear Mary speak and sing in joy, in response to God's activity, the originator of our joy, the one who rescues, the one who redeems, the one who's going to return us to our fortune. And here Jesus himself, when his cousin, John the Baptist, he was in prison and he wanted to know more about this one they called Jesus. Was he the Messiah or should they wait and look for someone else? And his John's disciples come to Jesus and they say, "Hey, John wants to know, are you the one or should we continue to wait for someone else?" And Jesus looked and he says, I want you to go back and tell them what you see and hear. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 through 6, when Jesus heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, when John heard what in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word to his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" And Jesus answered, "Go and tell John what you hear and see." Hear Isaiah 35 again as you hear Jesus speak. "The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense of me." We are the people who live in hope, who embody God's peace, and who choose to live in the exuberance of joy in the Lord. And we thank you, Jesus. We are the people who place a high emphasis on worshiping together to energize us in the joy of the Lord. This is one of the reasons why being a part of this assembly is so important. It's not just to check a box to say, up, I did worship, but it's to come together and to sing songs and to see each other and to experience this collective joy that we have in being the people of God. And so we worship together. Worship is a communal activity. It's something that we do together, and it's something that should incite some joy. Even in periods of mourning and lament, there is this sense that when we come together to journey, even in lamenting or suffering, we're incited towards joy. We are people who are unashamed to celebrate the victories that God is giving us in the name of Jesus. Yes, God is doing great things. Hear Joel come up here and talk about what we are seeing that God is doing when he was doing the prayer meditation. And when we see what God is doing, when we see that he's active, when we see that he's moving, when we see that he's healing, when we see that he's helping us to reach milestones, we're joyful. So, question. Does our life exhibit a joy? When people see us, do they see a difference in us? I remember years ago when we first moved here in 2002, we lived in an apartment and we didn't have a washer and dryer. And so like people who don't have washer and dryers, we used to go to the laundromat. And I used to go to the laundromat here on Main Street. And you know, I don't know how your household does it, but we had this strategy. We let all the laundry, you know, load up for weeks and weeks and weeks, and then we do laundry. It might just be my house. So I remember taking several bags of dirty laundry to the laundromat. I knew I was going to be there a while, so I took a book, and I was just going to sit there. And I walked in, you know, I had my bags, and y'all know me. I'm a pretty just chipper guy, so, you know, I probably look like a doofus most of the time. But I'm just, you know, I just walk in the laundromat, just all happy to be at the laundromat to do my laundry. And I load up, you know, about 10 machines of laundry. And I remember sitting down, and I was just sitting there just reading my book and, you know, just thumbing through. And I'll never forget this lady. She comes up to me, who's sitting in the laundromat. She said, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" I mean, I don't know. I mean, did I have a bunch of Jesus t-shirts that I put in the laundry? Or I didn't. I said, "Yeah, I mean, what made you ask?" She says, "Just the look on your face. Just something about you. Just something about the way that you're doing your laundry. Just kind of communicated to me that you're a believer." That always stuck with me. And so I pose this question to all of us. What if we never told a single soul that we were a Christian? Would people know? Would they see it in our faces? Would they see it in our eyes? Would they see it in our actions? Or would they just see just a little, we're having a bad day and we just got that mean look on our faces all the time? It's a beautiful day outside. It's sunny, it's crisp, but it's just too hot for us. So we're just, it's beautiful outside. It's a little chilly outside. It's snow outside, but it's beautiful, but we're just, it's just cold. I don't know. I mean, next time you have some free time, just go in your bathroom and look in the mirror and just do that and just see what face comes out on your face. Because for some of us, man, some of these scars is just implanted on our face, and we have to force ourselves to smile. We have to force ourselves to look like we have joy. So it does beg the question, if we never said a word about who we are and what we believe in, I wonder if people would be able to tell that there's just something, even if they weren't able to affix being a Christian with it, but they would at least determine that, man, there's just something different about that person. See, I think there are people that when you see them, they just exude joy. And when you see them, they just elicit joy. There's a reason that I wanted Charles and Debra to light the joy candle. I kind of tricked them and said some other things, but one of the reasons is because, listen, y'all, when y'all see Debra coming towards you, how many of y'all don't smile? You know what I mean? I don't think that anyone, when Debra comes towards you, you know, I don't think you're like, oh, man. Most of us light up because she's just so joyful. Now, listen, I'm in a small group with Debra, and I know that she experienced heartache, and I know that she experienced anxiety and worry. You know, she's got a daughter that's across the world right now. But even with all of that going on, there's joy. There's joy there. And I wonder if there's something that we've repressed or that we just don't allow to experience or to grow or germinate in our lives that exudes joy. I got to deduce that built into Debra's character, and it's connected to her faith in God, that her temperament, her character, her personality, it exudes joy. As a church, what do we radiate? I hope and pray that our church emits a spirit that is hopeful, that is peaceful, that is joyful, and that's loving. And maybe, just maybe, through our display of a joy that is deeply embedded in us, we might have the privilege and the opportunity to share the greatest news in the world. That great news of joy is that the God of the heavens sent his Son to come to us and to come for us and to live among us. He lived for us and he died for us. He made a way when there wasn't a way. He nurtures us like a shepherd nurtures his precious lambs. He redeemed us by his blood. And right now, Jesus sits next to the Father advocating for us. That is the greatest news. And quite frankly, that's breaking news that I want to hear. And I want to share. CNN and Fox and MSNBC and Yahoo. And fake news, which apparently is a new news source. They have nothing on this good news of Jesus Christ. It's the greatest news that we could ever experience.
My mama told me something when I was growing up that has forever changed my life. She played the piano at our little church at 3rd and Pine Street for 37 years. She tried to teach me to play the piano, but I wasn't very good. She would teach me the names of the notes, what a major key is, what a minor key is. She tried to teach me musical theory, but I was just bored. Then, one day, she told me that the best news in the world is found by playing a simple scale on the piano. I had no idea what she meant, so she told me to play an 8-note scale. So I did. I said, "How is that good news?" And she said I played it incorrectly and that I needed to play it the other way. So I did. Again, I said, "How is that good news?" And she said, "I played it the right way, but I needed to add the pauses." "The pauses," she said, "the pauses. Add them on the first, second, fourth, sixth, seventh, and last note." Now, I was frustrated and said, "How can 8 notes with random pauses be the best news in the world?" Then I got up, walked away, and went outside. Frankly, I didn't care what she was talking about. I didn't like playing the piano anyway. Well, years later, my mama got sick and passed away. As I was thinking about her, I remembered what she told me about the piano. Not only that, I still remember the notes she told me to pause. The first, second, fourth, sixth, seventh, and last note. So I sat down at her piano and played the scale with the pauses. And that's when I realized the good news she was talking about.
The best news is a news of joy. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. I wonder when people come into contact with Dion, or come into contact with Cindy, or come into contact with Khaki, or Jean and Barb, or come in contact with Zach and Katie, Are they able to see or hear or feel or smell or experience that good news? A joy to the world that the Lord has come. It has been a great, great source of joy and delight to know that our church over the past year, several years even, have participated in so many things that just brings joy to folks. Last week, Perry and I had the pleasure to deliver lunch to the staff at Slate Ridge Elementary. And I didn't realize how big a deal that was. But when I walked in with, close to $700 worth of food and drinks from BB Bop, purple rice and all. They lit up and they experienced joy because we participated a few weeks prior in the joy of giving. That's what we need to understand about giving. The joy of giving is that it's often going to bring joy to other people. Friday night, as Justin alluded to, the teens went to Target and shopped for gifts and sweaters and toys, and they wrapped those and got in that room and it got loud and people were stealing other people's scissors and tape and it got tense for a moment, but it was for the most part joyful. And that joy, participating in that joy of giving, is going to result in some families receiving gifts, and they're going to experience joy. And in just a moment, I want to offer another opportunity and invitation to give. And again, this is flowing from an encouragement that I gave a few weeks ago on the first Sunday of Advent, that we consider taking a percentage of what we're going to spend for Christmas for everyone else, ourselves, and perhaps reserve some of that and give that to another cause. And this morning, I want to share with you an opportunity that has shifted a little bit because of some news I received just 2 days ago. I get the opportunity to meet and partner with some local pastors in the Reynoldsburg Minister Alliance, and several of those churches participate in the Heart Food Bank, which is a food pantry, Mid Ohio food pantry. So are we, but they're down the street off of Main Street, have a big warehouse facility, and they're serving several folks, and it's an interesting ministry because it's literally the collaboration of Catholics and Lutherans and Methodists and Pentecostals and community churches and Baptist churches, and they all come together and put doctrine aside and they serve the community. And we would probably participate with that if we didn't have our own food pantry. But even so, we've gone there and partnered with them and done some things with them. And I was thinking about a way to demonstrate the joy of giving in our partnership in this community with others who have a heart for this community. And so what I thought that we would do is offer a gift to one of these churches. I don't know which one necessarily, but offer them. And let me give another background. Several years ago, probably about 10 years ago, there was a church that had did a study on the body of Christ, and they had did an in-depth study about what it means to be a part of the body of Christ. And as a church, they began as a church to just visit different churches as a whole church. And I don't know if some of you remember, but there was one Sunday, it was about 40, 50 African-American that came in and visit with us. And it was a whole church that said, we just wanted to come and bless the church and, you know, sing and maybe give you some encouragement. And with that, one of the members, one of the elders of that church, gave me a check for $500. And he said, this is from our church, and we just wanted to let you know that we love you, and we wanted to just, you know, plant a seed in your ministry and hope that you would do something great in your community. And that guy and I became close friends, and we're still friends to this day, and we still meet and talk, and a great, great guy, great man of faith. So I thought, what if we did something similar? What if we just gave a gift to one of these churches in our community, a fix with a note that just says, man, this is just an expression of our joy, our joy in giving, and it's just our, you know, gift to you to help do great things in this community. And all we'd ask that you do is just use these funds somehow to help someone in this community, do something in this community. And also, we ask that you would consider giving a gift to another church. Just see how it goes. Just see how far it goes and see how, you know, and if all the churches in this community participate, there could be thousands of dollars invested in the city of Reynoldsburg. And that's what I wanted to be the invitation, is just if you'd like to give to that, any amount. I have buckets up here, and when we're singing the invitation song, feel free to donate to that and pray for that effort. But then, in preparing for how to present that, I got a call from a family that we've helped out in the past, a family that was living in a hotel room, about 8 or 9 family members in a hotel room. Y'all remember that? And they've had some ups and downs, and they've had some successes and some failures, and they've just had this never-ending struggle of just trying to find a permanent place to live, a home, a place that's stable for her 2 elementary school daughters. And now it's just the 3 of them. It's not a lot of other people. It's just a mother and her 2 daughters. And the thing that she wants to do for her girls for Christmas is not get them a bunch of presents, because she can't afford it. She got a job. She got a nice job that she's starting to get some steady income. But what she would most want to give them for Christmas is a place to live. And she has actually raised a significant portion of the money for a security deposit and first month's rent, and she's a little short. So I thought, what if you would, I invite you to participate with me in helping this family. And what I would do is if you give, whatever you give, the amount that she's short, we would bless her. I'll take it to the landlord and give him where she's short. And whatever is left over, that's what we will present to a gift to another church. How does that sound, church? Does that sound okay? It sounds something like we can participate in. Is this something that we can participate in that demonstrates that we have the joy of the Lord? Is this something that we can say that this is something that we do not because we want to flaunt around that we have funds or flaunt around that we have the means to do so? We want to do this as a true, genuine expression of the joy that God has given us, for all that God has given us. And we want to spread this joy, and we want to plant this joy. And we want people to experience the greatest news on earth. And as you consider that gift, if you so desire to participate in that, hear Paul in Romans chapter 15, given this benedictory comment. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray and then we'll sing Joy to the World. And if you'd like to give, I'll set up two baskets here and feel free to share in this giving. Let's stand and let's pray. God, thank you so much for your love and for your hope and for your peace and for your joy. And God, I thank you for Jesus who embodies the prophetic utterance of Isaiah, giving sight to the blind, giving hearing to the deaf, giving walking legs to the lame. The blind can see, the deaf can hear, the lame can walk, the dead is being raised to life, good news is being preached to the poor. You are turning deserts into oases. Father, we thank you for the joy that we can live in, the joy that we can draw strength from. Father, I pray that our joy would be contagious. Father, I pray that the joy that we have in being redeemed participants in your kingdom story would be something that would offer us the opportunities and the privileges to share that story. Father, as the ancient or the Saint Francis who said, preach the gospel and use words if necessary. Father, we resonate with that. And we pray that we could preach the gospel by exuding the joy that's in our lives. And Father, perhaps we would be blessed with an opportunity to speak about that which exudes from us. Father, we also pray for this family that is looking for a stable living situation. Father, we not only pray that that this financial hurdle would be met, but we also pray that spiritual hurdles would be met. We pray that mental hurdles might be met. We pray that social hurdles and trying to get two young girls to adapt to yet another new situation. Father, we pray for that family, that you would bless them and heal that situation. And God, we also pray for the many communities of faith in this community that we've had the opportunity to partner with and collaborate with. Father, it has led to conversations that we didn't think were possible. It has led to us discussing points where we disagree and discussing points where we wholeheartedly agree. It has caused us to put a lot of that aside to unite to do what's best for the community. And so I thank you for this growing context and pray that it will be something that would be full of exuberance and joy, and that it would be a witness and a testimony to this community that you are not divided, that you are one. And may we seek to be one and do it with joy. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If there are other needs that you need to share with the church, please, we invite you to come as we stand, or you're already standing, as we sing this song.